ABC Radio Australia.
In the past month, tensions have been rising between pro-independence campaigners and the military in Indonesia's most eastern provinces of West Papua and Papua. They share a border with Papua New Guinea. During that time, there have been frequent internet blackouts, making it hard to get up-to-date information out of the contested region. But the internet problem is only part of the story. As Helena Suiza reports, journalists attempting to cover the West Papua issue are facing growing threats against their work.
Victor Mambor is a journalist and the chief editor of Jubi Tabloid, a local online news site in Indonesia's Papua province. In late April, he became a target of intimidation when his car's windscreen and windows were smashed while it was parked outside his house. He suspects the alleged attack related to news they had recently covered.
There was a report by Jubi that quoted ordinary citizens about a teacher who was shot in Bioga. Unlike other media, which only included statements from the police or the army, our sources there, who were civilians, said that the teacher who was shot was usually seen carrying a gun. That is what we wrote, of course, after a verification and clarification process. But it seems that not everyone's happy with that, so they accused us of provoking and spreading hoaxes. We didn't respond to the accusations at all. We just said there is a procedure. Please use the right of reply. After that, my car was damaged.
Initially, Victor Mambor didn't want to report the incident to the police because he was unsure if they'd solve it.
I don't want to be bothered with things like that, because for me, if I respond to it, it means that I've given them what they want. It distracts me and means I lose focus. I don't want that. The first time the incident happened, I didn't really care either. I felt like I just need to be careful. In fact, I didn't even want to file a report to the police. I also didn't believe that the police would be able to solve this problem. Anyway, I have to protect myself. I'm not sure the police will help resolving this problem because they have so many problems they have to deal with as well.
But he was convinced by the Independent Journalist Alliance organization to tell police who are still investigating the case. The alleged attack on his car, though, wasn't Victor's first experience with intimidation during his more than 20 years working as a journalist in Papua. But he says the way threats are made is shifting.
Now it's different. In the past, the violence was physical. There were beatings. From 2017 to 2013, I received verbal abuse, meaning that I was yelled at. I was also mugged by someone with a weapon, was threatened with a gun. But now they are using other people's hands, as I experience. Those who are not happy with our news are most likely using other people to carry out terror and intimidation, usually civil society groups.
Victor Mambor is not alone. The Alliance of Independent Journalists, a group which promotes press freedom, said there were at least 114 cases of violence against journalists in Papua over the last 20 years. The incidents were relatively evenly spread between indigenous Papuans, Indonesian reporters, and foreign journalists. But the alliance says that in reality, the numbers are most likely much higher, but many journalists are scared to report the threats. Eric Tanjung is the alliance advocacy division head. He says the cases range from people being doxxed, that's having your private information shared maliciously on social media, to death threats.
There is one journalist we advocated. She was terrorized because she reported the killings of civilians in Intan Jaya. Then after the news aired on Al Jazeera, she was intimidated. She was doxxed on Twitter. She received death threats messages through her phone and WhatsApp. Recently, there were also journalists covering Papua who had their WhatsApp accounts tapped and hacked, but were taken over again.
And police officers are among those threatening journalists. Eric Tanjung says 70% of the attacks reported to the Alliance in the past year were committed by police. The problem was recently acknowledged by a senior official in Indonesia's national police as part of World Press Freedom Day, although he didn't specifically refer to Papua province. Senior Commissioner Ahmad Ramadan apologized but also called on the public not to generalize, claiming it was just few police officers out of a total of 400,000 officers in Indonesia. He says police are reminded that journalists' work is protected under the press law, but some question the government's commitment on the issue. Emmanuel Gobai, the head of the Papua Legal Aid Institute, which advocates for and monitors media workers who have faced threats and intimidation, says that ongoing violence in Papua, as well internet cuts at crucial times, are violations of Indonesia's constitution.
Indonesia is a state with laws. One of the characteristics or basic characteristics of a rule of law is to respect human rights. Article 28 of our Constitution talks about human rights, which includes the right to access information. What we see in Papua now is that the state, through the government led by President Jokowi, doesn't carry out human rights commitments as recommended by the Constitution. So we think there is a systematic and structural omission in carrying out the Constitution.
Ken Setiawan is a researcher at the Asia Institute at the University of Melbourne, and she agrees, believing that citizens' rights to access information are being breached in Papua. She has been researching the issues since the first mass internet blackout in 2019. She is worried that the intimidation and internet issues is having a negative impact on the quality of news reporting.
I think it's very clear that those directly affected are, of course, the journalists themselves. But ultimately, everyone, no matter where they are, really will miss out on reporting coming from Papua and on Papua. It also means, and I think this is very crucial to understand, that Papuan voices remain really underrepresented in mainstream media coverage. And this is really essential to our understanding of what is going on in Papua and how it is experienced by people.
She would like to see the government introduce an independent organization that can monitor the situation.
But even a body like this would, I believe, face significant challenges. And that has to do with the fact that the broader context of the conflict in Papua, which has been going on for many decades now, and the tensions in the region, as well as, I suppose, the distrust between different groups, and that would make it very hard for such a body to work effectively.
But journalist Victor Mambor believes there is one other thing that would make a difference.
I think Papua needs quality journalism. If we pay attention, today there are many media outlets, but because of the inability to manage the media itself, the content are mainly talking news. Then the narrative becomes a single narrative from one source, especially during conflicts. Almost all are only citing security forces. I think it is unhealthy. We will not be able to resolve the Papuan conflict if the narrative is only from one side.